Sports Radio 92.9, The Game, and the Odyssey app. This is the Dopey Millennial Show. Caleb Johnson here with you on this Saturday evening. It's nice to be back. It's nice to be back in the city of Atlanta. It's nice to be back on the airwaves of 92.9, The Game. Nice to be back in the Kia Studios here at Colony Square because, for me, it's been a while. It's been a little bit of a minute. I finally, feels like everyone else I have seen on social media the last month or so, I finally got some vacation time in. It feels like this is that time of year. That time of year to get away, to relax a bit, recharge, all of those fun sorts of things. If you're in the position to be able to do so, and it honestly, it couldn't have come at a more perfect time, because then I step back into the sports world here in Atlanta and boom, we're underway with training camp. Boom, we're a week away from the MLB trade deadline. It feels like I came back and I stepped into a sports world that, yeah, a lot of that slow time stuff is finally out of the way. We have some things that we can discuss. We have some things we've seen with our own eyes on the field. We have some, I can't even call it dwindling optimism, just straight up confusion and wonder about the future of some of our teams in this city. But it was really fun to get away. I have to say, I don't want to be that person who like brags on the trip that I had, but I did truly get to enjoy myself and see a part of the world that I had never seen before. I got to see Andy Bunker country up in the Pacific Northwest area. Seattle was where I began my trip. And then 1,458 miles later, I returned my rental car to the Seattle-Tacoma airport and took myself home. But it was quite the fun adventure to go get to see a part of the world I had never seen before. I am always someone who advocates for traveling and seeing things. And you know, I've done this on my show before where I talk about like what's that event that you missed out on that after the fact you really regretted not going? Because what is the big thing that often prevents us from traveling, from going and doing things? It's money, it's time, maybe both of those things. Like there's always those obstacles that kind of can get in our way on a regular daily life kind of schedule that prevent us from doing and going and seeing. And so after having some plans with the wife of, hey, we want to get away this summer, we set out with big plans and realized, hey, big plans require big money. And so maybe we don't want to do big plans just yet. Maybe we need to actually budget. And let me say, as someone who, this is called the Dopey Millennial Show because I am a dopey millennial, this is the first time in my life, I think, first time in my life that I went on a trip where I budgeted beforehand for it. And wow, crazy how that works. Crazy how much more enjoyable I feel like the trip goes when you don't return and go, oh, yeah, for the next 10 months, for the next 14, 16 months, whatever, I'm going to be paying off this trip off my credit card. Going ahead and having stuff paid beforehand is like, huh, so this is how the life of luxury goes. When I can actually enjoy myself and go, oh, instead of having all of this stuff on the credit card, and then I also want to get souvenirs and all those sorts of things. Instead of doing that, now I'm questioning every move that I make because I'm like, oh, God, it's more money. It's more money I'm going to have to spend. I was really like that truly made it a more enjoyable trip. And what do we all like when we go on trips, or just honestly like regular life? Because it was an adjustment going out there, and I'll tell you, seeing gas prices out on the Pacific Northwest, that hurt. That definitely hurt a little bit, especially now. I was thankful at first that the rental car company, complimentary upgrade. You're in a Volvo XC40 for the week. Cool. Love that. And then I park at the gas station. I pop the little door open and I see premium only. I'm like, yeah, that's going to be fun. $5 a gallon for gas out there. Yeah, that's going to be fun. But what do we, when we go on trips, when we are just in our like daily lives, I feel spending money in general, you want value. And I think that was one of the enjoyable parts about going out and seeing the Pacific Northwest, seeing Seattle, seeing Washington State, went down to Oregon for a bit. The number of mountain ranges that I have seen of just straight up nature that I was in. Incredible. But you want really good value when you spend your cold hard cash. When you spend your money, you want value. And the gas prices were definitely an adjustment for me to have while I was out there. The cost of food, of just because I stepped foot off the plane, and maybe it was a bit of a mistake that had an early flight. So we were there with plenty of time to go see things before we were checking into our hotel. And so stepping off the plane, getting into the rental car, went to Pike's Market. And man, if you're someone who isn't the most excited about being around a ton of people, going from an airport, going from Atlanta's airport to Seattle's airport to Pike's Place Market, the amount of people that I was around was insane.
Yeah, but somebody who's been there, it's crazy.
Yeah.
It is crazy.
I mean, there's just, Josh, I guess I didn't know what to expect, which definitely played a part of it, but the amount of people that you're just kind of shuffling around. And then I'm hungry, and so I know, hey, I am in seafood territory. So I want to get me just like, what is the best salmon that I can get while I am right here? And then $30 later, I'm like, oh, okay, this is what this is going
to
be.
You know,
like,
what tripped me out too? I've been to Seattle before.
Yeah.
I agree with you. It's a fantastic place. Anybody who gets a chance to travel to the Pacific Northwest, you need to do it. It's beautiful.
Oh, absolutely.
Absolutely beautiful. But I went to the supermarket, and obviously here you go to the store, you know, Kroger, Publix, whatever, and you buy fish. Mm-hmm. And the fish is, you know, you can get it in fillets cut up. So I go in there and I'm like, yeah, let me get a couple fillets of salmon. They give you the whole thing.
The whole fish.
It's not, they don't cut it up for you. You don't get your little pound and a half or a pound.
Yeah.
They give you the whole side. And I was like, whoa, all right, just give me one. And it's affordable. I mean, it's not too crazy. But I was like, okay, so you guys don't just do like, you know, your little one or two fillets. Like, no, they give you the whole fish.
No, it's funny.
Like, cool.
It's funny that you say that, because that's definitely, whether it was at the grocery store or whether it was at any of the markets that they had out there. Yeah, they give it to you whole fish. And my wife is someone who, she doesn't want to see skin. She wants completely skinless, like none of that. Don't want to have to think about that that's actually fish. Yeah, I just want to think about that it's meat and I'm, you know, just enjoying it in that way. So it was really funny for her to kind of get over that quote unquote, I guess, fear of seeing it in that form. But it felt like I stepped foot off the plane, and whether it was food, whether it was gas, which was definitely more expensive out there, whether it was beforehand when I was finding places to stay and realizing of like, okay, all right, a little bit more expensive to stay in different places out there, but I'm looking for value. And I guess that's the thing that it kind of got me thinking about as I stepped foot, because the one nice thing that I definitely, and I recommend for anyone, no matter what field of work that you are in, is going on a vacation and not paying attention to work, which for me is sports, and then stepping back into the world and being like, all right, time to catch up. But stepping away for a bit and enjoying that part of the country, I was looking for value. Souvenirs, when it came to souvenirs, I was looking for value. And I think what's been so fun since I have stepped foot back in Atlanta and immediately kicked off things with training camp is seeing the value that the Atlanta Falcons have right now in Michael Penix Jr. Because what do you want as a regular everyday consumer? You want value in the things that you buy and the things that you spend money on to eat, to fuel your car, to whatever you're buying. You want value. You don't want to overspend on what you own, because you, and if you are spending more money, you want to get your value. Well, what have the Falcons been dealing with? Dealing with overspending on a quarterback last year and coming to terms with the fact that, yeah, you overspent and now you've got to deal with the consequences of that. I went and while I was out in Seattle, I on one of the beaches that I stayed at, went to this really nice seafood restaurant and spent way more money than I would normally on a dinner over here. However, talking to some friends after I came back, and they were telling me about their experience this past summer going up to Maine, and they stepped foot in a restaurant where they spent hundreds of dollars on a meal that they hated because they didn't check the food beforehand, and it turned out it was an all-vegan restaurant, and it was a set-price menu and all these sorts of things. And I was like, you know, the way that I would be sick over spending a ton of money and not getting the value that I wanted out of it, like, I was able to go out and try some different types of fish that I don't normally eat over here, because it's either just not that fresh or straight up like frozen when we're eating it on this part of the country, unless you're able to find it at a market somewhere that does have that sort of thing fresh. But you want to get value for what you spend money on. And I would, like Josh was saying, I would wholeheartedly agree that go vacation in the Pacific Northwest, because there is so much value in what you spend out there. It is more expensive, but the views that you get, the flavors that you get, and the types of food that's out there, especially the seafood out there, is incredible. And I feel like for the Falcons, having value in your quarterback position, and Michael Penix Jr., and granted, all of the conversation that we're having right now, that we're going to continue to have up until game one, is without having seen Michael Penix Jr. start a full season at quarterback. But with the way that he is held maturity-wise, with the way he's addressed the media as of late, the way that he has made an emphasis to involve Kyle Pitts in what he is doing, which is so clearly pre-planned and thought out, it's showing that the Falcons right now look like they have great value in the quarterback position. And that's obviously something we've been really wanting this team to have. I feel like everyone knew last year that Kirk Cousins was an overspend. And right now, having a rookie quarterback on a rookie contract, the 8th overall pick last year, feels like right now, heading into with training camp just a couple of days underway, you're getting value out of your quarterback position. And that just makes me really happy. That makes me feel comfortable and focused on the rest of this team and what it's going to look like. All right. on the other side of the break here on the Dopey Millennial Show. We're going to get into the rest of the story, all the headlines of the day and the weekend. We got to talk about those Braves, guys. Another loss. We'll do it next. It's Caleb Johnson here with you on a Saturday. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app. It's the Dopey Millennial Show. Caleb Johnson back with you guys on a Saturday. Feels, I guess I should say, it feels like the classic line of riding a bike. You know, hadn't done this in a little bit. Missed my show last week while enjoying a little vacation time, getting to see stuff I had never seen before. And you know what? I probably was one of the best parts of my vacation. It wasn't going out to the gorge and seeing a great concert. It wasn't seeing incredible mountain ranges and crystal clear blue lakes. It wasn't being in this like encapsulating forest. It wasn't having views of Seattle from my Airbnb where I could see the space. You know what it was? It was getting to go a full week of not having to watch Atlanta Braves baseball. Like, that was truly the greatest gift my vacation could bring. I actually went to go watch a winning baseball team. I went out and saw the Mariners, who have probably one of the most fun, and yet he is incredibly boring as a person, and I don't mean that in any criticism, but Cal Raleigh, who I got to talk to at the All-Star game with our media availability, he's just like, he's the most adorable, I feel like, sports figure we have right now, who is doing incredible things, and then you go to talk to him, and you're like, man, what's it like to... So you've got the second most home runs before the All-Star break that we've ever had, only second to Barry Bonds. What's it? What is all this like? And he's like, oh, yeah, it's cool. It's cool, man. It's a lot of fun. Like, he is just the most kind of like shy, laid back, not ready for the spotlight sort of individual. But dude, it's raking. And man, the Mariners, it's crazy. It's crazy to think about a time in which, and I'm sure Andy Bunker must feel this way, of like watching the Mariners be really good at baseball while the Braves absolutely stink is such a foreign position to find myself in, where I was going to this Mariners game when I bought tickets a couple months ago, knew they were playing the Astros, and I was like, well, you know, probably going to be an Astros win. And yet it took extra innings, but Mariners got a win while I was there. And then that was also the night in which one Braves team blew a late game lead to lose in the ninth inning to the Yankees. And I was getting texts from friends thinking, man, what a wonderful sight that I don't have to watch this team. And so coming back from vacation and being like, all right, Braves and Rangers, here we go. Here we go. And what did we get last night? A lot more of the same. A lot more of the same sorts of things that we've been seeing for the last few months. So without any much further ado, let's get into the rest of the story.
Now, the rest of the story.
All right, rest of the story is the Braves lose to the Rangers last night, 8-3. rest of the story was, well, you had Joey Wentz on the mound for the Braves, a guy who I believe he was the one claimed off waivers, if I remember correctly, but just one of those doesn't inspire any sort of confidence when he's on the mound. Maybe things go well. Maybe he gets through his four innings like he did his last appearance, and the Braves go on to lose. Or maybe you have what he had last night from him, where it wasn't particularly great, but also wasn't absolutely awful. 4 1/3, he gave up 4 hits, 3 earned runs, struck out 6. Just meh. Like, this is not. I talked earlier about finding value. And the Braves right now, it feels like they have found value in their quarterback position with Michael Penix Jr., whereas they overspent for it last year. Well, when you get something off the scrap pile, when you reach in the $5 movie bin at Walmart, a lot of the times you're going to get pieces like Joey Wentz and the guy who closed out the game last night, Hunter Stratton. Stratton has a 18.90 ERA this season. And in his appearance last night, in his, what, he had 2/3 of an inning, if I remember correctly, he came through and hit his first batter, allowed a single, and then gave up a sac fly to the first three batters to score as as the Rangers continued to add on runs last night. It felt like before Montero got in there that the Braves had a shot at kind of sticking around in this game. But yeah, Stratton goes 2/3 of an inning as he finished up last night's game. Only gave up 1 hit, the single, but the hit batter, the walk, and the sac fly went on Rafael Montero's stat line, as Montero wasn't that great either. His first inning last night, he was okay, but that second one looked pretty rough. And Rafael Montero, an inning and a third, gave up 2 hits, 2 walks, 4 earned runs, but 3 of those came from what Hunter Stratton did when he got in the game. The reason why I bring up Hunter Stratton is he was getting a lot of attention and love before last night's game, because he is a local guy to Bristol, Tennessee, where we're this upcoming weekend are going to have that Speedway Classic out there, Bristol Motor Speedway. I'm super excited because I'm going up to cover the game for 92.9 The Game. Excited to get to see what all of that is going to look like. And quite honestly, that game, like, that's it for the Braves season as far as excitement this year. And it doesn't even matter, win or lose. Who cares at this point? Who cares if the Braves win or lose that game? It's just going to be the spectacle of that game itself that'll be the last entertaining part of this year. And I don't know that the local kid, Hunter Stratton, is going to be a part of it, because I saw a couple articles were written from local papers in that area of, hey, the local kid, Hunter Stratton, went to high school here. He's on the roster with only a week to go before the Braves play the Reds out here at Bristol Motor Speedway. But with that 18.90 ERA, like I said earlier, he hit his first batter, gave up a single, gave up a sac fly as he got through 2/3 of an inning. It was not particularly good, and I don't know how much longer he'll be sticking around this roster as a part of the Braves. As I would assume, if you're not going to leave Craig Kimbrell on the roster earlier in the year to allow him to come back to Truist Park and in front of the Atlanta fans one last time, I assume you're not going to keep Hunter Stratton on the roster just to let him pitch in front of his local friends and family, that sort of thing. I just don't know that's going to particularly happen. Not that surprising, but just worth mentioning. 1 for 10, the Braves were with runners in scoring position last night. Yeah, it was not particularly good. But you did have Austin Riley return from his ab strain. He went 0 for 4 last night. We'll see if that improves at all. It's going to take some time with him returning in the lineup. Wouldn't expect him to do anything nearly as spectacular as the kid over in with the Athletics did last night, going 6 for 6. Yeah, I don't think that was going to be in the cards for Austin Riley returning, but you definitely want to see him get more comfortable back in the lineup and hopefully show some semblance of offense as Nacho Alvarez got sent back to Gwinnett. All right, tonight, game 2 for the Braves and the Rangers. What's the rest of the story there? Well, you've got Grant Holmes on the mound, who has been one of the only positive pitchers that we've seen as of late, versus Kumar Rocker. I don't know if you remember, Rocker was he was a kid pitching for Vandy back when they were winning World Series. If I remember correctly, Kumar was on the team with Dansby Swanson, but that might have been after him. I know Vandy won a World Series with Dansby Swanson, and they won one without him after he was already gone. I think Rocker was on that second iteration of that Vanderbilt baseball team that won a college World Series. But Rocker came out of college into the draft with the Mets, had some like injury stuff that caused him to get set back, and then if I remember correctly, he was redrafted with the Rangers and has now made his way up. As the Rangers right now, look, they're fighting for their wild card life right now. They're actually in contention with the Seattle Mariners. So it's not like the Rangers are looking to just lay down as the Braves attempt to put some wins together. Marcell Ozuna back in the lineup tonight at DH. It'll be interesting to see how he kind of gets used over the next week. If he is on the trade market, it certainly seems like that is in play. But game 2 tonight, 7 o'clock for that first pitch. Grant Holmes and Kumar Rocker as the Braves take on the Rockies. All right, continuing with the rest of the story, and we'll talk more Falcons amongst the show. Continued training camp today out at Flowery Branch. DJ Chark, the latest signing for the Falcons at wide receiver. Why did DJ Chark get signed? Well, that's because Darnell Mooney injured himself on Thursday in 11-on-11 drills. He's got a shoulder injury that multiple reports have put out there is going to cause him to miss the rest of camp and a few weeks, that quote-unquote a few weeks, whatever that necessarily means. So now you're looking at DJ Chark, who did not have a particularly great season last year because of his own injuries. Chark was held out with a hip injury. Then he had a groin injury. So DJ Chark only played 7 games last year for the Chargers. He had 4 receptions, 31 yards, and 1 touchdown. Kind of hoping he's more of the Jacksonville Jaguar version of DJ Chark, but feels like, isn't that pretty unrealistic to get at this point in his career? But he's going to join, obviously, Drake London, Ray McLeod, Kadarrell Hodge, Casey Washington, is trying to fit in amongst that wide receiver group here in Atlanta and show that hopefully he can be someone worth sticking around, depending on how long this injury for Darnell Mooney lasts. And hopefully, just outside of Mooney's injury, he's someone worth having around on this roster. Is it felt like, if I remember correctly, he was a bit of a Falcons killer in the past on some of the other teams that he's played for. So it'll be interesting to see what he looks like with Michael Penix Jr., as they'll be trying to quickly build some chemistry. Atlanta United is still playing. That team does still exist. It feels like, as we've written off the Braves, Atlanta United, kind of one of those forgotten teams because of how poorly they've played. We've got 6:30 pregame, 7:30 kickoff tonight here on 92.9 The Game. Atlanta still not won a match since May 28th. They've gone 7 MLS matches without a win. They're playing the, funny enough, the Seattle Sounders, who is the 4th best team in MLS right now. You do have some good signs going on with this team as they try to snap this incredibly long I can't say losing streak, but just streak without a win, that you've got Steen Gregersen joining this defensive line, thankfully going to bolster that back up. He's been missing for 3 months with a quad injury. And then you've got a couple of new guys joining this Atlanta United squad after the secondary transfer window. Miha and Barakal. We'll talk with Jason Longshore coming up at 5:40 on the show to get his thoughts on this team, as well as get his thoughts on Lionel Messi getting suspended by Major League Soccer for not playing in the All-Star game. Kind of a controversial sort of thing that I was expecting to see a suspension and wondered if he would get a pass because, well, Messi feels like always is just treated differently in this league. But no, they do suspend him, and I'm curious if that's kind of where this thing ends or if Messi's going to hold any sort of grudge towards Major League Soccer for punishing him for going against their rules. You gotta play by the rules, even if you are getting paid by the league and by Apple and every other venture that Major League Soccer is attached to, and certainly is a big part of what MLS is trying to do to champion themselves as a league. But like I said, we'll talk all of those things with Jason Longshore coming up at 5:40 on the show. We're also going to talk with Joe Patrick, who is out at Falcons training camp again earlier today. He'll join the show at 5 p.m. But coming up next on the Dopey Millennial Show, we're going to listen to some audio from Raheem Morris and from the quarterback, Michael Penix Jr., get their thoughts on how this team is fleshing out in training camp and what is the chemistry building like between Michael Penix Jr. and his receivers, as already lost one receiver so far through training camp. It's all coming up next on the Dopey Millennial Show. Caleb Johnson here with you on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app. It's the Dopey Millennial Show. Caleb Johnson here with you on this Saturday, going until 6:30 today because of Atlanta United pregame as the Five Stripes take on the Seattle Sounders at home. I was excited when I saw Seattle on the schedule. I was thinking, oh man, I get to ask Jason Longshore on my show about, you know, the food spots that he's going to, the kind of things that he likes to explore while in Seattle. And I was like, oh wait, no, this is a home match. It's a home match. It's at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. So if you're still a true fan, kudos to you if you're going out to Mercedes-Benz Stadium tonight to see the Five Stripes in person. Hopefully they're able to snap that seven match streak without a win that they've had going on right now. We'll talk with Jason Longshore later in the show coming up at 5:40. Next segment, though, we're going to be talking with my buddy, friend of the program, obviously friend of the station because he works here, 92.9 The Game Falcons reporter Joe Patrick is going to join as he goes from Flowery Branch, where he's been up with the Falcons earlier today for training camp, over to Mercedes-Benz Stadium, where he'll then go cover the Atlanta United match tonight as they take on Seattle. But I wanted to, during this segment, I wanted to get to some of this Falcons audio that we've acquired over the course of these past few days getting into Falcons training camp. It's such an interesting time because we're still in that projection mode to some extent of what things are going to look like. But the nice thing about officially getting underway with training camp is you get some questions answered, some things that you saw during OTAs. And if you don't know about OTAs, it is voluntary. A lot of that portion is voluntary. And so talking with players is, you know, they don't have to speak if they don't necessarily want to. And also, the coaching staff is not going to talk about people who are not there. And so a lot of the times you can get guys who aren't there for injury-related reasons, or you get guys who aren't there because of other particular reasons. Maybe they just don't think they need that OTA period or are working with their trainer on other things. And so for all of that, it feels like during the spring when we get these voluntary OTAs, you've got questions that you're not necessarily going to get answers to, but already underway with Falcons training camp these last couple of days, you've been able to get some questions answered as far as expectations of who we're going to see, who's going to be missing, who is held out, and all of those sorts of things. And one of those players that feels like this is kind of a reoccurring theme is Troy Anderson. Raheem Morris spoke about Troy Anderson earlier this week.
You know, we could talk about probably the main one is Troy. You know, obviously the guys had the physical test coming back from last week. He'll be the guy that will put a designation on, a PUP designation, obviously, to get him ready. But he is on track. He's doing really well. He's in great spirits. He looks amazing.
Yeah, I got to say, I'm disappointed. I'm really disappointed that we're going into another season of injury-related things with Troy Anderson. Like, is this kind of it with the type of career? Because I got to say, coming into the league, expectations sky high on this guy. And I felt like that rookie season, 2022, really lived up to it. Lived up to the fact of, okay, you're sort of thrust into a role playing more because of injuries and showing that you were a guy worth drafting in the second round out of Montana State. And yet, the last two seasons, you had two games played in 2023, seven played in 2024, and you're coming into year four where you're on the physically unable to perform list, which means, by NFL rules, you have to miss the first four games of the regular season. I hear Raheem talking about, oh, he looks great. You know, he looks good. Everything's on track. It's just disappointing to have this guy, someone who was promising, dealing with more injuries and facing uncertainty to another start of the season. But apart from Troy Anderson, finding out that you had a guy that I thought was going to be a pretty regular part of this team, Kevin King, defensive back, getting released. We'll ask Joe Patrick about that coming up in about 15 minutes from now. His thoughts on the Kevin King release, why that happened, as well as someone that I was high on coming out of undrafted free agency because of the skill set. And I felt like all of the other things were the red flags and the question marks that were cause for concern. But Kobe Bryant out of Kansas, a guy who I feel like, apart from Travis Hunter kind of just absolutely running him in that Colorado-Kansas game, I feel like apart from Travis Hunter, that Kobe Bryant held his own amongst the Big 12 and amongst Kansas's season to show that the talent is there. I just wonder the off the field stuff that was always kind of a concern. How big of a role Kobe was going to have? Because coming in out of getting him out of undrafted free agency, I felt like, all right, this is a great piece to add to this team. But then seeing him already out the gate, being one of those guys who is going to miss time, definitely is a cause for concern. All right, I want to get to some other audio from the past couple of days. Raheem Morris, he spoke about someone that it's going to take some time, I feel like, for me to adjust to this, as well as many others. But when you have a left-handed quarterback, your blind side switches from the left side to the right side, which means Caleb McGarry is going to protect the blind side of our quarterback, Michael Penix Jr. And here's what Raheem Morris had to talk about him.
With the old school blind side, when you were straight up on the center, dropping back from seven step drop and five step drop, where a lot of us in shotgun, a lot of us in pistol. And I don't necessarily know if it's as blind as it used to be. You know, you do still do some up under things, so for sure. But I have so much confidence in Caleb and his ability to go out there and play at a high level, no matter what side he's blocking on. You know, obviously he excels in the run game. You know, we can talk about top five on that side rushing the ball, right? And then obviously our other side excels in the pass game. We're talking about Jake Matthews and Bergeron over there. But I got a lot of confidence in what he can do. And if he has some issues, which we're all going to have with some of those people on the edge, some of those freaks, you got to provide the proper help for him.
I love Raheem preparing us all for, hey guys, we know Caleb's really good at run protection, and we know the other side of the line is really good at pass protection. But yeah, I mean, there's some freaks in the NFL, and truly, there are. We know the Micah Parsons, we know the TJ Watts, we know the Myles Garrett, and you can kind of go on and on and on and on and on down the list. But I love that a concern for fans and media alike of how Caleb McGarry is going to hold this responsibility of protecting Penix's blind side, that Raheem Morris, very confident, as you're going to be during training camp, but also a little bit of, hey, we all know what he's good at. And we know that there are some freaks in the NFL who could potentially take advantage. And it's not always going to be perfect. And hey, nobody's perfect, right? I love the subtle honesty woven in the compliment sandwich. You know, Raheem Morris doing a good job with the compliment sandwich of talking about Caleb McGarry's strengths and weaknesses, and it's going to be interesting to see how this plays out. Of course, we're not going to see much through training camp, even when pads get on, because, and I love, this is kind of a side tangent in my brain, but I love what we saw J.J. Watt earlier this week get on social media. I believe it was Thursday, might have been Friday, and talk about, hey, do we really have people out here counting stats in training camp? Like, you don't know what's being run. You don't know what the purpose of the drill is. And you're out here saying, oh, this X quarterback was 12 of 15 for this many yards. And this receiver had these, you know, three catches or whatever. So same is going to go. Even when the pads come on for pass protection, you're going to have those moments where, oh man, so-and-so is just getting blown by. Or on the opposite, we're going to, especially with the rookies, going to rave about, oh man, I mean, he's just lightning fast around the edge, having no idea what the particular drill that's being run, what's being attempted. So it's one of those. I love that J.J. Watt put that out on social media this week to kind of calm the, hey, let's not focus so much in on those particular things. And so I would say that carries on even with a Caleb McGarry during camp. Just kind of one of those interesting things to pay attention to, but to not get carried away. The boss, Mike Conti, he corrected a mistake that I made earlier, talking about the physically unable to perform list. I thought that was a four-game, like an automatic, you're out for the first four games of the regular season. However, the PUP list, when in training camp, works differently. So you can be activated to the active roster at any point during training camp. But if you're not activated by final roster cuts, then they move you to the reserve list, that PUP list that keeps you out for the first four games. So that makes more sense as to Raheem Morris's comments on Troy Andersen. And that's part of the, guys, I joked with you earlier about the training wheels of returning from a vacation, in which I quite literally paid like zero attention to anything going on, and it was glorious. But walking back in, this is one of the tumbles. But so that's good news when it comes to Troy Andersen, is that it's not a definite that he's going to miss the first part of the season. Makes more sense why Raheem was so positive about how Troy has come back, but being on that pup list right now. All right, a few more cuts that I wanted to get into here in this Check the Tape segment. Let's go to Michael Penix. And I talked about earlier the value that you're getting with Michael Penix Jr. Part of that comes with him being a leader, as Penix talked about the keys to getting Kyle Pitts the ball.
The biggest thing, like when you think about a tight end position, it's matchups. You know, you want somebody that can win those matchups. You know, that's a big position in football nowadays, because you know those guys are usually going against linebackers and safeties, and we need a tight end that's going to win those matchups every time, and that's what KP is going to do for us. And you know, the work that he's put in this offseason, it shows that's what he wants to do, and you know, we're going to make sure we make it happen.
I love that Penix is already putting it out there for fans to be thinking about this in a way that I've already seen it discussed in the past when it comes to Kyle Pitts, which is, oh, you know, we're going to get him the ball when the matchups make sense. We're going to get him the ball when everything fits together just perfectly. And like, we all know what the problem has been with Pitts these last few seasons is, if you're having to get Pitts and the perfect matchups to get him the ball, then he was not worth the fourth overall pick. That's just plain and simple. The fourth overall pick is not a guy that you have to be worrying about matchups. However, if you're a really smart quarterback and you're a great leader, you're going to change the conversation and the focus around, like when Penix walked into the room, what was that, Thursday, I believe it was, and he was like, hey, you saw how Pitts is catching the ball? You saw him getting the ball out there? Like, this is the type of smart decision-making and leadership that Penix is showing, and that I'm, like, my opinion on Kyle Pitts has not changed and will not change. It's I don't expect anything to look more incredible this season, maybe a little bit better than it did last year, but his impact is what it is, and I'm not going to overvalue it. But with the way that Michael Penix Jr. is setting things up, it is setting Kyle Pitts up to have his best situation type of season, which I fully expect him to have. They're going to feed him the ball early in the year. We know what's going to happen, and then work its way out from there, and he'll be a part if he can find good matchups and if he can beat his defender. All right, other side of the break, Joe Patrick, our 9-9 of the game Falcons insider and reporter. Conversation coming up next right here on the Dopey Millennial Show, Sports Radio 9-9 of the game and the Odyssey app.